भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text number 1. Maitreya Uvacha, Vijitasva, Adhiraja, Asit, Kutuputraha, पृथुश्रवाः याव्योभ्यः अदतात् काष्ठाः भ्रातृभ्यः भ्रातृवत्सलः। मैत्रेय उवाच विजितास्वोऽधिराजा आसित् पुत्र पुत्र पुत्रुस्सवा याव्योभ्य ददात् काष्ठा भ्रातृभ्यो भ्रातृवत्सलः। मैत्रेय उवाच विजितास्वोऽधिराजा आसित् पृथुपुत्र पृथुश्रवः यवियोभ्य अददात् काष्ठा भ्रातृभ्यो भ्रातृवत्सलः। मैत्रेय उवाच विजितास्वोऽधिराजा असित् पुथु पुत्र पुथुश्रवः यवियोभ्य ददात् काष्ठा भ्रातृभ्यो भ्रातृवत्सलः। Mothers, Maitreya Uvacha, Maitreya continued to speak. Vijitashvaha, of the name Vijitashva, Adhiraja, the emperor, Asit, became Prithuputraha, the son of Maharaj Prithu, Prithusravaha, of the great activities, Yaviyogbhyaha, unto the younger brothers, Adatat, offered Kastaha, different directions, Bratrubhyaha, unto the brothers, Bratruvatsalaha, very affectionate to the brothers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya continued, Vijitashva, the eldest son of Maharaj Prithu, who had the reputation like his father's, became emperor and gave his younger brothers different directions of the world to govern, for he was very affectionate towards his brothers. After describing life and character of Maharaj Prithu in previous chapter, the great sage Maitreya began to speak about the sons and grandsons in the genealogical line of Prithu dynasty. After the death of Maharaj Prithu, his eldest son Vijitashva became emperor of the world. King Vijitashva was very affectionate towards his younger brothers, and therefore he wanted them to rule different directions of the world. From the time immemorial, the eldest son generally becomes the king after the death of the previous king. When the Pandavas ruled the earth, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the eldest son of King Pandu, became emperor, and his younger brothers assisted him. Similarly, King Vijitashva's younger brothers were appointed to govern different directions of the world. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guruho Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavauscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maitreya Vaja, Vijitashva Adhiraja, Asit Putra Prithu Shravaha, Yaviyobhyaha Adat Kaksha Bratrupya Bhatruvatsalaha. Vijitashva, the great sage Maitreya continued, Vijitashva, the eldest son of Maharaj Prithu, who had a reputation like his father's, became emperor and gave his younger brothers different directions of the world to govern, for he was very affectionate towards his brothers. Looks, it is very simple transition from father to son to govern the world. But there are two significant words here. First is Adhiraja. It's not an ordinary king that one gets qualification simply by birthright that the son of a king will become a king. But one has to acquire the proper qualification, means proper training would be there. Without training, one can never get qualification. There was provision in the royal dynasties to be trained first. So therefore, the parameter to measure the training is correct. The word is utilized here as Prithushrava. The reputation of Prithu Maharaj was the most important factor that has to be carried on as an inheritance. Otherwise, the description of dynasties is coming in Srimad Bhagavatam very extensively. What is the use just to enumerate who was the father and who was the son and how the dynasties are carried on? What is the purpose? In Kali Yuga, the purpose is lost. But Srila Prabhupada desired that Krishna consciousness movement, which is supposed to take his 50% of the job to put up the Devi Varnasham system, and especially to the ruling or administering the whole society of Krishna consciousness. These two qualifications are also to be inherited. Prithushrava is not a name by itself. One has to properly hear the glories of Prithu Maharaj, which has been enumerated in several chapters prior to this particular chapter. What are the great qualities of Prithu Maharaj? He was the partial incarnation, Aunshakala, of Lord Vishnu. But yet he was to take birth from a disqualified body of Venama. So we have to understand that birthright is to be not considered much more of an importance. Prithu Maharaj is born from the Venas, upper arms churning. But nonetheless, he had very distinct characteristics. And the function that he was supposed to perform was not an automatic glorification without... when he was coronated, the Brahmana started glorifying him. And there it comes, Prithu stopped them. Don't glorify me unnecessarily. I haven't performed any activities, and how come you are glorifying? Glorification deserves to those who have performed meritorious activities in service of Krishna. Just to restore production of the earth back, an apparent task that he was supposed to do, it's not an ordinary thing. The conversation between Mother Earth in the form of cow and Prithu Maharaj, even though Prithu Maharaj wanted to show the power and anger to the disobedience, yet Mother Earth is pleading to listen to him, to her, and Prithu Maharaj paid attention. She gave the reasons why she has withdrawn all the productivities. And therefore, everyone was supposed to suffer. When there is discrepancies in executing the functions which are ordained by the Lord to the entire society in their respective classes and qualifications, Varnasha, she complained about everyone. So how to rectify that in service of the Lord? It's not an ordinary task. But Ruth, who paid very empathic hearing to her plea, and he understood. The cow is inviting him to milk her, but she is requesting, bring an appropriate calf. The living entities are categorized in so many different classifications in the Visarga of Brahma, the secondary creation that Brahma did, 8.4 million species of life. And Prithu Maharaj is checking out all the orders, all the classes, starting from the demigods. And the foremost of the demigod had to become the calf, King Indra. He's the ruler, so better he become the subject. And so it's an allegorical thing, but at the same time we understand that these instructions have the core information concerning about these activities should be for the pleasure of the Lord and nothing else. In short, Srimad Bhagavatam extols this principle that Ataha Pumbi Dvijasrestha Varnashama Vibhagasha Sanatishtasya Dharmasya Sansiddhim Haritoshana. The best occupation of all humanity is to worship according to their prescribed duties in the particular order they are situated, to please the transcendental Lord. Please the transcendental Lord. The satisfaction of the Lord has to be achieved through the performance of our prescribed duties. Whoever we are, however we are, wherever we are, we have to become conversant about our position in the society, at the same time executing the order, the functions in relation to the Supreme Personality of God. Otherwise, it's a useless life. We see the discrepancies in Kali Yuga are plenty and nobody is following. Srila Prabhupada had desire, and these desires for the Devi Varnashram system is not an utopia, a coming out of nowhere, but it is very, very planned and organized desire. It's not just popping out from the blue. And Prabhupada gives the importance of establishing the Devi Varnashram system on this principle, and that being the 50% of his entire work that is left upon all the descendants of Srila Prabhupada, disciples and grand disciples. The administration is being suggested here. Prithu Maharaj was Adhiraj. What is the difference between Raja, ordinary Raja? Adhiraj means the foremost of all the kings. These dynasties, or the royal dynasties, have descended for fulfilling the functions of the preserver, the Supreme Personality of God. They are supposed to maintain the society, They are supposed to carry out the welfare activities that pertains to all living entities. What is the use to become a king if he is not going to take care of his subject from the impediment of the death? Imminent death is impeding otherwise. So, we see it's a big obligation. In the characteristics of Prithu Maharaj, we see in the subsequent chapters there's so many lessons to be learned, which can be applicable, which becomes our guideline how to act in Krishna consciousness. One of the most important lessons that we are taught in the character of Prithu Maharaj, that karmakanda is the general means to fulfill the material desires of all the living entities who are embodied. And at the same time we see fulfilling the desires, the guidelines are there, but the three modes of material nature interferes in the individual psyche, however great a person may be, and can be easily influenced. Prithu Maharaj was so much powerful that he wanted to execute, and he had a firm resolve that he has been, he had his appearance because of restoring the order, law and order. Even the nature's law is to be restored. Mother Nature itself is becoming the cow. And everything has to be justified. Today, if we see, to justify somebody's cause, we try to deprive the other. It's very easy to deprive. You say, okay, because he's my pet, he was favoring me, I should do a personal favor to him by utilizing my power. So let another be unjustified. But that is not the maintenance aspect. It is going on everywhere. You have to become spoon of somebody else who is your hire, and just try to please even though you do not like him, or personal disagreements would be there. But it is sheer enviousness on a very shallow level. Can you imagine King Indra's enviousness to Prithu Maharaj's performance of 100 fire sacrifices, Ashwamedha Yajna? What a great level of envious enmity. He was virtually threatened. So even though Prithu Maharaj, through the Karmakanda sections, you know, was trying to put up as much welfare in order that the planet Earth will become normal and everybody will be happy, so they can gain their ultimate opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. He wanted to set up everything in place. So therefore, he performed 99 whole sacrifices. But Indra would be very jealous. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expansion. Indra is not. So sometimes we see in relation to a devotee and the Supreme Lord, he wants to imitate. He wants to preserve. But funny thing, the whole story of the jealousy which has been described in I think 22nd chapter, we see Brahma has to interfere. Brahma has to appear when Indra was stealing repeatedly the ashwa or the horse. Maharaj Prithu's son was supposed to be the security guard. And somehow or another, Indra would come in disguise and false representation of a sannyasi, so nobody could touch him, you know, nobody could doubt him, nobody could, you know, stop him. And he was successful repeatedly. And observing the rules and regulations, the son of Prithu Maharaj would not touch him, let him do it. But Prithu Maharaj was so much determined, over and over, he continued to perform the 100th sacrifice. So, Indra would come and steal every time, but he would continue without any daunt. He would dead bent that I must perform 100. But he did not have any jealousy towards Indra or wanted to usurp the kingdom of the Swargaloka. But regardless, even in such a high level, we see this kind of jealousy existing. And Brahma has to come and put up a kind of resolve. A resolve was set. Brahma said, Prithu, what is the need to perform 100 sacrifice? You have not vowed to become Indra. You are more than Indra. You are more than Indra. You are same Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the use for you? Means, one who is a totally devout in carrying out the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is also on the same platform of divinity. And for him, his behavior should be different. His behavior should be different. He should not do this in counter-jealousy. Rather, he should give that attempt because it will still be a material attempt, material endeavor. And it should be rejected like prayasa. Prayasa is over endeavor. It's not an easy thing at that level to perform the 100 sacrifices. So, ati sarvatra varjayat. When there is excess of such activity which is not going to yield the result to please the Lord, Brahma, the Paramesthi, is the topmost of all the demigods. He came because he knew the principle. He said, Prithu, give up this attempt. It's useless. You have to see this Indra as your disciple. He's no wise. He's not intelligent. So, do you mean this justification was right? Oh, those who are culprit, those who are, they should be let scot-free? But even if it does, by the superior, if we get experience that we are not being properly justified, we don't have to leave or give up or become despondent or discouraged. Rather, we are told to tolerate the inconveniences because devotional service does not stop from that. The jealousy is not going to impede your devotional service. Therefore, one has to look in the transcendental nature beyond the modes of material nature and try to act in divine realm. And that will be pleasing. Prithu Maharaj understood and gave up. Huh? Seeing this is the success of devotional service. The Lord wanted to appear. Nobody criticized because Prithu has to give up this activity. Nobody criticized him. Oh, you are doing less or this or that. No. Everyone appreciated the broad-mindedness of a devotee. The broad-mindedness that was cultivated. And Prithu Maharaj became obedient to Brahma's words and carried on. The Lord was pleased to, because of this gesture, broad-mindedness and forgiveness that was asked for. Prithu Maharaj was ready. He never thought, but yet the activity sometimes overwhelms. And where the spiritual quality has to be applied to show mercy on others, one has to become broad-minded. If one is not properly cultivating devotional service, then he will become restricted and he will be confined into his own belief system. He may be argumenting, he may be quoting so many shastras, this or that. He thinks he was right and yet he was not given full justice, And he will try to counteract. No, devotional service is independent just like Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is independent. It can show mercy, Bhakti Devi can show mercy upon whom she pleases. Indra God fulfilled his desires, but at the same time Prithu Maharaj was transcendently situated. And what a better situation one can anticipate. And that pleases the Supreme Lord. That's why Lord Vishnu appeared and wanted to benedict him. Prithu Maharaj, he was completely purified by this behavior. And his entire attitude towards his subjects changed. He was thinking of their physical welfare only. But because performing these duties to please the Supreme Lord gave him the intellect how to behave properly in humility and thanking all the subjects for this status that he was brought to. He was so much humbled, and his speech and every action became so much sweet, meaningful, and effective to preserve the original purpose of maintenance of the preservation of our life. So we may get enough opportunities to cultivate the ultimate aim, going back home, back to God. So, this is Prithusrava. Prithusrava means hearing about the excellent activities that devotees are supposed to be cultivating and performing. By hearing such topics of transcendental nature, everyone gets the desired result. So this is an important lesson in the life and characteristics of Pratha Maharaja. Even though he was the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, came with a partial representation of the divinity himself, but yet when he is taking charge of preservation of the earth, or maintaining, or governing, or administrating, he sets up the best example for us to follow. This is the talking about transcendental management. So we need to understand these activities and try our level best to apply within our devotional service. Thank you very much. Anybody has any question? Please speak louder. I'm little deaf, so I have to speak myself loud so I can hear too.
Maharaj, where is the exact place, where is the source that Prabhupada said that 50% of my work is unfinished till Varnashram is established?
Wow. That's in the lecture, right? Prabhupada is asked. I think several devotees who are well-versed with the bringing out from the folio, the research engine or whatever it is, they go, I'm not well equipped with that, neither I know anything. I'm a computer idiot. You know, so, but Prabhupada says, Prabhupada's desire is that. Prabhupada established the Krishna consciousness movement, which is the prime backbone. His instructions are the backbone, but now we have to put into practice. Isn't it? Giving instructions is one thing, but putting in practice, who is going to put in practice? He already showed by his example, so it is left to us. Right? Anybody knows this desire quoted somewhere? Cannot hear him. In Gitanagari lecture? Okay. I didn't hear the... Has anybody heard about this? That Prabhupada's 50% work has not been finished and that is left to his disciples and grand disciples to carry on? Abhiram did? I have to take help of my God brothers, you know. Anything else?
Maharaj, one more question. regarding Varnashram, we find that even devotees now in our society have difficulty trying to understand this concept. And we also find that who will take the responsibility of designating somebody as you are a Brahmana or you are a Kshatriya, you are a Vaishya, you are a Sudra? We claim to be, you know, Vaishnavas or maybe higher than Brahmanas, but at least from my personal observation, I find that even the word Varnashram is a source of controversy amongst devotees. So,
how would you look into the qualities and activities. Activities are showing the qualities, inherent qualities. So whatever we are performing, our activities, gives us classification. There is no artificial means. Otherwise, the birthright Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya will be again set up. No. It depends upon our activity. What are we doing? The gunas dictate our activities. So to find out what gunas are, what predominant guna we are in, it depends upon our activity. That is the only way. I don't think there is any other way. If somebody has, then I would like to know. Anything? Please, can you pass?
Hare Krishna. Bhakti Vichapona Swami Maharaj, one of his classes, he said it can be defined, Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, can be defined on how you make your money.
How do you make your
money?
Mind.
Yeah.
Oh, money.
How do you earn a living?
Okay.
If you're dependent on donation, you're a brahmana. If you're dependent on taxes, you're a kshatriya. If you're dependent on your work, you're starting a business, you're a vaishya. If you're dependent on any other three castes, then you become a sutra.
Who collects taxes?
King. Kshatriya.
The king means the administrators?
Yeah.
But our administration hardly, only the treasurer is allowed to collect the money. As for example, life membership. How do we define the devotees working in life membership department bringing money? What is their category?
No, if they're in... If they're employed, then they're sudras. They collect money for the administrators, but they're sudras.
Mm. So they are also kshatriyas then? No? As Brahman? Life membership devotees are brahmanas?
Beyond. Beyond.
If somebody doesn't fit in the four varnas, at least he is Vaishnav. That's good enough.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. You quoted the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, that you have to please the Lord, you have to perform your duty in Varnashram. And is that... Is that an absolute statement according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement? The untouchables, the malechas, and the yavanas from which I came from. I mean, whether or not I'll fully rise up to Varnashram, it's still out for a decision on that one, but I'm trying to become Krishna conscious. Is it an absolute statement in and of itself?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai's conversation is describing what is the highest occupation of the soul. And he extolled the engagement in loving devotional service exemplified by the gopis is the highest. Executing varnashram dharma just for the maintenance of the life that the traditional, varnashram system, that is not the aim for that. But underlying aim of performing varnashram activity is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And how do you satisfy? Yat karoshi yat ashnashi yat juhoshi tadasi yat tapasyasi kaunde tat kurusha madarpanam. Unless and until whatever our performance is not offered to the Supreme Lord for His pleasure, how is it going to be satisfying to the Supreme Lord? So everything has to be meant for serving Him, and that end is an irrevocable fact. That just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking for contemporary, the smart brahmanas, those who are adhering to the rules and regulations without the understanding of pleasing the Supreme Personality of God. They were the one who were averse to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So naturally, on that contemporary level, we can understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking for the smartas, the deviant brahmanas. They neglect the personality of Godhead. They neglect. Whoever neglects, even Brahman neglects, he is disqualified. Every Brahman is not a Vishnu worshipper. We know it. Even though they may be very proud in carrying out that tradition, and they may have a good lineage. Big pandits are there. Patana Patan, Jajana Jajan, Dana Pratigraha, they also do. But if they are not devotees of the Supreme Lord, so as far as the devotion is concerned, Varnashram system, if it is devoid of it, it is useless. So, just simply by performing Varnashram system without that aim is not encouraged. It is useless. Daivi Varnashram system, Daivi means Divyata, and divinity should be the main focus in performance of our activity according to our gunas. Otherwise, is it only available to the Brahmanas? No. They are supposed to be teachers for divine activities. How they are going to guide the society. They are simply not dry knowledge giving, class of people. Even in Karmakanda, even in today's society, people who perform Karmakanda, they do not have any iota of pure devotional service. They never teach, they never tell their clientele to rise above the functions, because they themselves are not on that level of devotion. Without devotion, there is no divinity. Jnana is divine, but it is partial.
In the other side of the coin that I was asking about, can the bhakti be without the varnashram? Because you quoted the verse, Sam Siddhir Haritoshanam. So that was the question.
Yeah, so Haritoshanam means bhakti. Without bhakti, there is no Haritoshanam.
Can there be bhakti without? I'm not trying to discourage varnashram. I'm just asking if that's an absolute statement in and of itself.
Well,
that bhakti has to be dependent on varnashram.
But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preference is not on varnashram. Higher than performing these duties is one has to engage in devotional service. Even different kinds of devotional service in different rasas, still higher and higher mellows are there. The highest he was trying to bring. And He declared, Ramya Kachit Upasana Varjabadur Vargena Jakalpita. That is the topmost. And if devotional service has to be performed, then perform like the gopis of Vrindavan. That is the highest satisfaction of the Lord. One ashram dharma may be able to give liberation after some time, you know, but not love of God. Because four purusharthas that they are recommended to perform, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. In Kali Yuga, nobody tries for the fourth one. Everybody is entrapped in artha, kama. They learn little about dharma, but now there are no schools even to teach about the systems of Vedic religion. Most of the people remain ignorant of this arrangement. So, we are not going to create a society of ordinary Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. These are all Vaishnavas, and they will be naturally classified according to their activity, because these activities do not deny to perform devotional service. As devotional service. These activities should become devotional service. That is the aim. But as an ideal society, to show as an example that the way in Vedic times this was being described in the literatures, so why not to create an ideal society which will become an exemplification of others to be inspired? After all, we are a society, group of people performing a kind of activity that distinguishes from the other. Our activity is devotional service. Not simply Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Right? But that is an external arrangement. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki.